ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. On this weekend of Easter, there are renewed concerns over the health of Pope Francis after the pontiff bowed out at the last minute from a service Friday night. The Vatican press office saying the Pope did not participate in Good Friday's Way of the Cross procession to preserve his health in view of tonight's vigil and Easter Sunday Mass. Terrifying moments on a United Airlines flight heading to Newark International Airport from Tel Aviv Friday evening had to be diverted to New York Stewart International Airport, an hour north of New York City, due to extreme turbulence. Roy Goen on board.
That was really sixth flight. I can't describe it otherwise.
A handful of minor injuries, including motion sickness, reported. On New York's Long Island, a large procession of police motorcycles at the funeral service for fallen New York City police officer Jonathan Dillard, fatally shot during a routine traffic stop in Queens on Monday. This is ABC News. Passengers are beginning to flock to the skies this weekend as holiday travelers turn out in some of the highest numbers airport officials have seen so far this year. ABC's Jacqueline Lee with the latest.
TSA says that they are seeing the most passengers they've seen all year. They reported more than 2.7 million passengers on Thursday. And they say actually it's busier than it was the Friday before Christmas and the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
A reported theft of around 200 beehives stolen from a ranch just south of Selma, California, part of an apparent disturbing trend.
Bees are crucial in pollinating crops to help almond trees and more grow in Fresno County, California. But, says Tony Boddy from the county sheriff's office,
in the last 4 months, we've had about 600 hives reported stolen. That's a value of about $150,000.
Ranch co-owner Ed Harmon.
The beekeeper's out $200 a hive.
The sheriff's office says thefts increase this time of year when bees pollinate. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Your chance to win a distribution deal. Be a co-headliner, get discovered, and learn more about the music business is back with Wisconsin Dells Music Summit, May 10th and 11th at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. Our celebrity panelists have worked with great musicians, producers, and artists like Drake, Adam Levine, Rihanna, Usher, Pussycat Dolls, and more. Learn key aspects from top industry professionals as they give once-in-a-lifetime advice to stay on top of the technology, laws, and trends in the music business. This event will include beat battles, ciphers, collective panel discussions, Q&A segments, and breakout rooms for masterclass teachings. You'll want to have your talent ready to share on an MP3, WAV file, or QR code for this resume-building opportunity. Ticket sales on Eventbrite February 1st. Packages include overnight stay at the Chula Vista, water park passes, and admission to the Wisconsin Dells Music Summit May 10th and 11th. Call 608-516-4354 or email wisconsindellsmusicsummit@gmail.com with questions.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Wisconsin is one of the first states to join a new effort to get nutritious food to children from low-income families during the summer. Here's Mike Moe.
Governor Tony Evers says Wisconsin is the first state to get the green light for the summer electronic benefit transfer program. 36 other states are poised to launch this summer, too. Eligible households will receive preloaded debit cards that families can use to buy groceries. Shelley Fortner of the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse applauds the move, noting half of the kids in the local school district already qualify for free and reduced-price lunches during school.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are at home during the summer months.
This new permanent program, authorized by Congress, is similar to the enhanced meal access the federal government provided during the pandemic. Throughout Wisconsin, there are separate meal sites for these kids when school isn't in session, but supporters of the new effort say it provides more flexibility, especially for households with limited transportation options. State officials point out that most families already enrolled in the National School Lunch Program will automatically receive the summer benefits. Fortner says meal access aids kids in their learning. For the summer, she says the additional access will help keep them active.
We've had a lot of information about, you know, sedentary activities like video games and TV and all of that. But our kids are now getting outdoors more, and they need to have that energy to be able to keep that up.
She adds this should help foster healthy lifelong habits for kids and prevent them from starting the next school year feeling sluggish. It's anticipated the money will be available in late June. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-50s, clouds tonight and lows around 37. Some rain for Sunday, a high of 53. Rain is likely Sunday night, some heavy rain is possible, low around 38. Rain on Monday, breezy and a high of 52.
Right now, it's 37.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What's up, Madtown? You're listening to your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the 92.7 FM on the 92.7. Never mind. You're listening to me on 92.7 FM on the Black Conversion Show. I'm excited to be here today. I'm in the studio today by myself, which is pretty lonely. And as always, folks who listen on Saturdays at 11 a.m., you know, I rarely ever prepare for the show because it's a show that I do once a week for 1 hour. And I'm a pretty busy woman. And then when I sit back to think about what I'm going to talk about today, it's usually 5 minutes right before the show. So here I am today, no co-hosts, no topics. Very much so repetitive behavior on my part. But one thing that I often do, actually what I do all the time, is I talk about something currently happening around me or something that I'm experiencing, whether it's directly or indirectly. And one of the things that came up for me this last week, it was my birthday. Okay. So folks who listen, people who follow me know it's my birthday. And once a year around my birthday, I celebrate me, and I celebrate me big time. And a lot of times I go overboard. I mean, not really overboard. I don't have that much money to go too overboard, but I usually do something nice for myself. I usually travel somewhere, buy myself something really nice. You know, I love to dress up anyway. I just love to look good. So this birthday, I went to Houston. I had a ball. It was my first time ever being in Houston. The political stuff that happens in Texas around politics, laws, and all the other stuff often, I guess, has kept me away from Houston. So I usually I'm not going to Houston. But I went to Houston for my birthday and I had a fabulous time. So I just wanted to talk about how do people celebrate themselves, and why? One thing that came up to me or came to my attention is how hard it is for us to celebrate other people sometimes. So that's what I thought about. Sometimes you have situations or you're in a relationship, because it could be friendships, intimate relationship. It could be parent to child or friend to friend or uncle, whatever. What I find is that when people are really excited about themselves, that bothers people. And I just wonder why are you so bothered by someone celebrating themselves? Even I was following this one girl who had achieved a lot. She went from having zero followers to millions, and she was just so happy, and she had got some money. So she started what people call tricking. She just started buying gifts and, you know, showing herself shopping and being happy. And on social media, people were hating on her. Girl, you need to save your money, or you need to do this, or you need to do that, or you think you all that. And I just thought to myself, why are you bothered by what somebody else do? And then I had to think about that, brought me through the thought of social media and how toxic social media is, and at the same time how political it is. You know, social media is one of those places where we share everything, and sometimes we overshare. Some people say we overshare. I don't think you can overshare. I believe you do what you want on your social media platform, and you know, it also works for some people as therapy, this place you can go and vent and express yourself and get feedback. Because a lot of our worlds, we're alone. I guess I can only speak for myself. I know my producer, Nate. I don't know you, Nate. Are you alone most of your day? I mean, you're in the studio with people, but are you actually interacting with them? You know what I mean? Right now, unless we talk to you. You spend most of your time alone, Nate?
Oh, I spend most of my time in my little room here.
Yeah.
I usually don't, you know. go around talking with people, I suppose.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So social media is a really good place where if you like me, I don't talk to a lot of people. I talk to a lot of people, but it's all about work, right? So I'm, for people who don't know, you're listening to Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM, and I am a founder and CEO of Urban Triage, which is a nonprofit organization, local nonprofit organization. And I talk to a lot of people, but I don't talk to them, you know, like I'm not like talking to them. I'm not like sharing my thoughts about my personal, you know, life. It's more so, how can I help you? What can I do for you? That's how I spend most of my day, whether it's with staff, you know, coaching staff, managing staff. And then I, with the community, is like, what do we need to do differently? Let me do some engagement. Let me figure out what our community need, that kind of conversation. Or I'm having conversations with investors or people who donate. Like, that's how I live my life. And each one of those parts of me, I don't know, I wear a different mask. I don't want to say mask, but a different part of me is present. So on social media, I find that another piece of me is able to be present, and that's vulnerability, right? That's my ability to share, you know, parts of myself that I don't normally get to share throughout the day. So that's why I think social media can be positive. And I also understand, like, it could be political, and then people be like, well, social media is dangerous because, you know, people get to pretend. But just like watching movies or show, what difference does it make to you if they're pretending, right? Like, if someone pretends on social media to be better than they are, or richer than they are, or prettier than they are because they wear 100 filters or whatever it is, what difference does it make to your life? It doesn't really make any difference. So I don't know. I'm in a tangent. For my Facebook folks, I am in the studio by myself today. I have no co-host. I waited to the last minute. I usually ask someone to come. Last week, it was my baby daddy. So I'm just talking. to say, I was just sharing how, you know, how I just celebrated my birthday. And then that led me to the Facebook tangent. But one thing I had talked about is how people don't, this is how we got here. You know, people don't like celebrating other people, and especially on social media. And my birthday just reminded me of that. And how my show is often a platform I use, like my radio show, once a week on a Friday. I guess I could provide more news topics and provide more analysis, but I don't. It's just, I just show up and start talking. But what I would, my point is that one part of me that shows up, whether it's on the radio or on social media, is a part of me where I get to express myself. I get to express my thoughts, my feelings, my ideas, and I don't get to experience that in other places of my life, you know, because of my work. So anyway, last week, I know what I want to say to you guys. So last week, I had, was it this week or last week? It might have been this weekend. I had an experience where I end up having my heart broken, like really broken. Like, and I went on social media and I said that I was like, my heart is broken and I need to have a drink. Where y'all at? You know, and it was funny because a million people followed up. A lot of people text me, how are you doing? Are you OK? And I actually really appreciated that because, like I said, most of my day isn't about me. It's not, I don't get to talk about me, express myself. I don't get to interact with people. I get to go home, cook dinner, usually with my partner or with my kid, pick them up, take them to places or whatever. Sometimes someone else picks them up and brings them home. But nevertheless, I don't really get a lot of space to express myself. So last week I said on the air that I was heartbroken. And I wanted to share with y'all why I was feeling so heartbroken. One of the reasons I was feeling so heartbroken is because I have limited people around me. Like, I have my staff, which is part of a network of people. Then I have, you know, a small group of people that I hang out with that I sometimes tell my business to, but not too much. You know, you people don't really know me like that. I mean, I don't even think I've really expressed myself to my kids enough. I'm going to work on that now that I think of. That's probably an important thing to do, is express myself with my children. But however, I sometimes share things with people. And out of, I think, 8 people in my life that I share things, random things with, you know, 6 of the folks in my life, I found out was having negative conversations about me. So I was so heartbroken because I thought these friendships or relationships, quote unquote, meant more, right? And to have my personal business be put out in the street, or have people have conversations about my personal business or talk about me in ways that aren't positive, it just broke my heart. And it like happened like a domino effect. It happened like in 2 days that I found about different situations. And the crazy thing about it, I was thinking like, why would God let some of these things be exposed right now? Like right after my birthday, right after I came off my little high horse of feeling myself, because y'all, I feel myself on my birthday every year. and I think that's very important for us all to do. You know what I mean? Like, is you born one time and then you die. So you might as well celebrate every year that you get to live, breathe, and be. And I do. But anyway, back to my story. Last week, I experienced a situation, or this weekend, a few days ago, where out of the 8 people that I call my small network of people, and whether it was with them with each other or either other people outside of, you know, our network of people, my business was shared, and it was like, I felt violated. I felt betrayed, and my heart was broken because it was like, dang, I thought we was better than that. And I feel like from my perspective, I do for people. I mean, I'm a doer, and not that I expect you to return that doer energy. I do expect people to be loyal, at least loyal enough where you're not disrespecting me or you're not talking about me like my haters do. Because what broke my heart is people that I considered to be cool, right, were sounding like my haters. You know what I mean? Like, my haters don't hurt my feelings when they talk about me because it's expected. You should talk about me. You know what I mean? That means I'm doing something right. But when people right next to you say things or talk sideways or just show, what's the appropriate word? See, that's why I need people on the show with me, because if April was here right now, she could say something back and I would be like, yeah, girl, that's it right there. And then we would laugh. Or Keena was here. Or anybody was here right now, I wouldn't just be talking. I would have like this back and forth response, but it's okay. I only got 2 more minutes before I get to shut up and think about what else I want to talk about. But anyway, what I was saying about relationships and friendships is that my heart was broken because I had this experience where it was a group of people in individual situations with my information in their mouth, talking about me, telling things that I told that was, you know, a secret really and shouldn't have been shared and confidential. And these same folks, or some of these same folks, have come to me with secrets. I mean, secrets, like secrets that will secrets. And the one thing I am is loyal. Like, and I pride myself on confidentiality, right? In relationships, personal, intimate friendships, client relationships, even conversations that people are like, you know, you ever meet someone at the bar and they just come and start having random conversations with you. Even those conversations to me are confidential. I'm not going to meet someone at the bar and they share things. And for some odd reason, people share all kind of stuff with me. I don't even have to know them and they share. But my whole point is, even folks that I don't even call my friends or my associate, I would never share your business because it ain't my business to share, right? And especially folks who show up in your face smiling or I love you or saying you love me and sending you text messages, checking on you, and they talking about you and telling your business and bringing other people into your business. So Madison is a really small community, and me being who I am, it's kind of embarrassing when people share my information that I thought was my private information, and I thought that we were having a private conversation. So anyway, that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about all kind of random stuff. Let's call it Random Saturday, where Brandy just gets to talk about anything, nothing, and everything at the same time. Okay, so we got to take a break. You know, I'm on a radio show, 92.7 FM radio station, rather. My show is Black Conversion with me, Brandy Grayson, but I am on a radio and they do require sponsorship, which means that we got to listen to the commercials that pay the radio station. So with that said, I'll be back. Stay tuned, because I got more of nothing to talk about.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM, the hostess with the mostest. I am in the studio today by myself. Well, technically, I'm not by myself. Nate is here, the producer, my producer. I absolutely love Nate. I mean, I just do. I just love him. And Nate is leaving us, and he's not going to be my producer no more. It is so sad. Nate, tell us where you're going, and why are you leaving us?
Well, I'll be heading over to the Wisconsin Council for the Blind.
Oh, actually, I guess. That's a different... That's a different career path.
You know what? I have been working with politics, hardcore politics, the presidential election every day for the last several years.
Oh, that's not fun?
You know what? I need to not be doing that anymore.
I bet you do. It's the same story, ain't it? Over and over
I need to not hear about it every single day.
I feel like you in the loony bin or the Matrix, which technically you are, Nate.
That's how I feel every day.
That's what it is. Our existence is like being in the Matrix, the loony zone. I feel like I'm in the loony zone, y'all, sometimes. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm in a Jerry Springer episode that people forgot to tell me about. I was just saying to somebody the other day, you remember the Truman Show? Nate, you know the Truman Show?
I know the Truman Show.
I freaking love that show. What is the name of the main actor? What is his name?
Jim Carrey.
And like, he's in this movie. It's a movie, but it's a show about this man who life is being filmed, but he doesn't know it's being filmed. And the whole, everything around him is a set. I feel like that is my reality some days. Like, I gotta be on a set. Like, to have people around me, I feel like they're actors, because okay, I be trying to express myself without saying too much, but how do you be around people, or even me, like, take me, how do you be around me and be like, oh, I love, I respect you, and, you know, we cool, and then talk about me? Like, I talk about people. Let me get this clear. I talk about people because God know ain't nothing perfect about me. If I have a problem with my friend or I'm mad at my friend, I vent about my friend. I vent about what she did that made me mad, which is, everybody should do that, right? Like, because how can you not? If everyone was perfect in your life, then something's off. Something's real off, because humans are messy and we're chaotic and we love drama. So anyway, but if you have an issue with someone, like, if you have an issue with their character, right? That's the thing. That's the word I think I'm looking for. If you have an issue with my character, why would you even be around me, right? And then why would you be around me to listen to what I'm talking about, to go and tell it to other people? Like, it's crazy. And so I don't know. I don't want to really talk about it, but then I don't know what else to talk about. And it's the only thing that really happened to me this week that broke. It ain't the only thing that happened, but it's the thing that happened that broke my heart this week around friendships. It was so messy. But anyway, I'll be fine. My heart will be fine. Everything will be fine. But I did cry a lot and I did rage a lot. And then I skipped my therapy appointment today, which I probably shouldn't have. But when I get in a really stupid mood where I'm like sad and then outrageous. Oh my God. I'm outraged, but which makes me outrageous. But when I get in that place, I don't even want to do therapy. I don't want anyone to help me make sense of what I'm experiencing at the moment. I actually just want to be in a place where I'm not thinking, you know, I'm not processing things. Everything. And I don't know why I'm like that, because, you know, a normal person probably be like, I should go process this with my therapist. I'd be like, nope, I'm gonna wait, because now all of a sudden I'm mad at her. Like, what I'm mad at her for, I don't know. And just for my listeners who are interested in therapy, my therapist is not really like a psychotherapist. She is a somatic therapist. Her name is Heather Last. Her business is called Somatic Rhythms. And I think if you want to figure out the different parts of you, you should go see her. She does what they call family integrated systems therapy. So that's a freebie for y'all and a shout out to her. And the way that it works, I don't remember what the psychiatrist was, but this person was able to identify 72 parts of a human. So every person, in theory has 72 different parts of them. And in these 72 parts, you will show up as the little girl, the girl, as a girl, like, because I'm a girl, I identify as a girl. So I will show up as like a little baby, a 5-year-old, a 9-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old. I will show up as like a very kind person, a very generous person. Just all these different parts of you, a very angry, outraged, demonic person, like the good and the bad parts of you. So her therapy is really about the whole framework of integrated family therapy is really about looking at these parts of you and identifying which parts of you show up when, right? So for me, a lot of my therapy is based in my childhood. Like all these little girl parts keep showing up because of how much trauma occurred in my life as a kid. It was so much trauma. Some of it is so horrific that my mind has actually shut it out. So I don't have memory of everything. I have memory of pieces of them, but what I've discovered in my therapy, a theme that keeps coming up no matter what I do in my life, like how well I do, the therapy I go through, what the themes that keep showing up is I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. And I'm too much all at the same time. So those are themes that keep coming up. And what these different parts of me, which I've identified through her practice and her helping me identify, what I've identified through therapy is that the things I desire the most in my world is what most people desire, of course, and theirs as well, which makes us all very similar, is I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to be loved. And I want to belong. Right. So those are some things that the little parts of me, the baby parts of me have communicated with me through the exercises I do in therapy with Heather Last. Now, y'all don't all get to call on her because I still need her to be available for me, because last time I gave her a shout out, y'all booked and then I couldn't get in. So not everybody go and see her. Now, for everybody listening, Heather Last is white. And I think that's important to identify because people have these assumptions like, well, I had one person come up to me who I love, which is one of my friends. And she came up to me and said, I want to go see your therapist, but I didn't want to go see your therapist because I thought your therapist was black. And I thought I didn't want to invade that black space. Now, mind you, this is my friend. And of course, she's a white woman. And when she said it, I started laughing like, girl, how you invading my space? If you need therapy, you better go see whatever therapist is the best. And my therapist isn't black. So I guess you're clear to see her. But either way, I think everybody needs therapy. But the reason I don't know why I brought it up, why we start talking about therapy. But one of the things, because I said I skip therapy when I don't have a good week. But I think that it's important for us to do the exercises when the activities and exercises that identify those parts of us. Because what part came up for me last week? Not this week, because I skipped it. Therapy was actually today, but don't tell nobody. But the parts that came up for me last week was my baby self. And this was the first time she showed up. And I was probably about 9 months old in this, I can't explain integrated family therapy. She puts you in a relaxed state of mind and you ask yourself questions and then you identify parts of yourself and those parts start to speak. So this little baby started to speak. And she was crying and all she did was cry, cry, cry. And one of the things that was identified in my therapy is that when I was a baby, I wasn't held, right? When I cried, people didn't come to me. When I had a wet diaper, no one changed it. When I was hungry, I just said hungry. So that is what I discovered in therapy last week. And it was intense. It was so intense. I cried so much, more than I ever cried in a long time. And most of it was about grief and the loss of that innocence. But I'll continue the conversation and provide you with some more aha moments I had. But you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX out of Madtown, Wisconsin. And we're going to take another break for the sponsors and then we'll come back. So I'll see you in a minute. Follow the signs.
Not sure what's better, a win at Camp Randall Stadium or just hanging out at the farmer's market. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. On this weekend of Easter, there are renewed concerns over the health of Pope Francis after the pontiff bowed out at the last minute from a service Friday night. The Vatican press office saying the Pope did not participate in Good Friday's Way of the Cross procession to preserve his health in view of tonight's vigil and Easter Sunday Mass. Terrifying moments on a United Airlines flight heading to Newark International Airport from Tel Aviv Friday evening had to be diverted to New York Stewart International Airport, an hour north of New York City, due to extreme turbulence. Roy Goen on board.
That was like really like sixth flight. Like it was like really, I can't describe it otherwise.
A handful of minor injuries, including motion sickness, reported on New York's Long Island. A large procession of police motorcycles at the funeral service for fallen New York City police officer Jonathan Dillard, fatally shot during a routine traffic stop in Queens on Monday. This is ABC News.
Marquette season comes to an end. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Marquette was favored to win, but lost to NC State 67-58. Head coach Shaka Smart on what's next.
I don't know. We just lost in the Sweet 16. I'm not really focused on legacy. I did tell the guys after the game in the locker room that, you know, our two seniors, Tyler Kolick and Osa Iguodaro, it's been an absolute honor to coach this entire group. The worst thing about losing today is that, you know, we don't have practice tomorrow. We don't have another game to prepare for.
Marquette's Tyler Kolick asked this after the game.
Tyler, like, how do you balance your individual accomplishments over the last couple of seasons?
I mean, not many people make it to the Sweet 16. You know, I'm just happy to be out there every time with my guys. Like Coach said, I'm just disappointed that it's over.
College hockey, the Wisconsin Badgers men's hockey team losing 3-2 in overtime to the defending national champions, the Quinnipiac Bobcats, who advance in the NCAA tournament. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, highs in the mid-50s, clouds tonight and lows around 37. Some rain for Sunday, a high of 53. Rain is likely Sunday night. Some heavy rain is possible, low around 38. Rain on Monday, breezy and a high of 52.
It's 39 at our studios.
At my company, we're always looking for people who are passionate and ready to work, but it's not always easy. It's time to broaden our horizons. In Wisconsin, about 600,000 people with disabilities are ready and able to work. People that just need you to believe in them and say yes.
And once you say yes, ThinkAbility Wisconsin will be there, providing transition and workforce support to help shape a better future for all. It all starts when you say yes. Join the movement at thinkabilitywi.org.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
The Todd Alba Show.
Former state senator and majority leader in the state Senate, Dale Schultz.
Legislators aren't doing their job. But what I would ask all the listeners is, have you taken stock in your legislator? Do they really deserve to be there? Do they really want to be there? In a polite way, ask them to come and share a vision, listen to you, and say we want regular communication. And I think if we do that, the system will serve us very well.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, I told you I'm going to miss you, Nate. Like, you playing all the good stuff on 92.7 FM. The Black Conversion Show, and my producer is leaving me. I'm not going to cry. I'm going to cry later. Maybe have a couple shots later or something. But it's going to be sad because my boy Nate got the flavor, okay? He was gone one day and I almost lost my mind. It just wasn't even the same. It didn't even have the same flow, flavor, or nothing, okay? I was off. I'm just looking at myself like, where is Nate? Back to what we were talking about before break. For folks who are just tuning in, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show. Today is a topic about everything and nothing at the same time, you know, because I'm a walking dichotomy. I was going to say walking hypocrite, but that was negative. And I'm not a walking hypocrite. I just understand that there's different parts of me and different polarities, right? So I'm a giver. I'm very loving. I give my heart. And at the other end of that spectrum is I am a bee. Okay. If you want to see me a beast mode, I'll get in beast mode real quick. And I try to tame her. That's why I do therapy, to learn how to ground myself and to soften myself and to be more aware of my triggers and how things are showing up. But I also understand those parts of me. So today is about everything and nothing at all. Okay. Oh, that's a great topic for a show, actually. Everything and nothing at all. See how that happens. But anyway, prior to break, what we were talking about actually was integrated family therapy. And I was sharing with people my experience in integrated family people. I was sharing it with y'all because y'all listening to me. I mean, it feels weird talking to myself. But however, I was sharing with you guys that last week in my therapy, I did an exercise through somatic and body work and getting into your body where I heard from my little baby self, me, about 9 months old. And she was crying and crying and crying, and no one ever came to pick her up, love her, hold her, kiss her, or see her. So there's parts of me that show up in my adulthood where I yearn for those things. I yearn to be held. I yearn to be seen. I yearn to be understood, and I yearn to belong. And it's a deep yearning, and it's a deep hole in my heart. That even when I continue to peel back the layers of it, like I continue to do the healing. Y'all know I've been on this healing journey for a minute. And that's why I tell people that healing and personal development and life, like doing better than yesterday, is a process and not a race. You know what I mean? Like it's not a light switch. It's something that you keep doing every single day as you desire to expand yourself. But I discovered that this little baby didn't have those things. Mind you, before this exercise and activity with my therapist, I didn't know this existed for me. I didn't know that that was my experience as a baby. And then that ends up playing out in my life. So, yeah, I've gotten better. You know what I'm saying? But it ends up playing out in my life, and it ends up playing out in my relationships, and specifically, I don't know who keeps calling me, but I hate when people keep calling me. Like, if you called me twice and I didn't answer, I'm probably busy. Like, why call a third time? You know what I'm saying? Like, why do it? That usually means somebody in a meeting or they're busy. But anyway, oh, there's a fourth time. Okay, I guess whatever. You know, they're just going to keep on calling. I don't recognize the number. It's not my kids calling. So that's good. So anyway, I figured out, like, through my therapy, my somatic work, that I'm still yearning. Okay, fine. That's the sixth call. They're just calling. And for listeners on, you know, on the air, I have my phone. I'm on Facebook Live and they keep messing up my live. Like, stop calling me. Okay, back to what I was saying. Then it's messing up my concentration. But that's probably actually helping because I'm talking about everything and nothing at all right now. So what I was saying is what it made me realize through these exercises is that because I desire to belong, that I often attract people who are not in my best interest, right? So I often in friendships and all, in friendships, like, and like there's been in my personnel life, and I mean like with staff, I've attracted people that I can't even explain, because a lot of, you know, it's confidential. I'm not going to tell people business. I can only speak from my experience. And even as a CEO and of an organization where we employ the people we serve, there has been people who would work for us and were undermining us or trying to defraud us or trying to get over. And then they get fired or whatever, get found out, and they resign, right? And then they get on Facebook or they get on other areas and make up lies, like crazy lies. Like one girl got on Facebook talking about, yeah, she had me she had me making fake documents. And I'm like, girl, ain't that the reason you was fired? But I can't even say that out loud, right? Like, so you're going to project that on me, but I can't say it out loud because that would be inappropriate and not professional and all those things. But oftentimes in therapy, I work through these relationships, right? Where I also attract people who see me as their mother because I'm a very much so nurturing caregiver. That's what I do by design. That's my care. That's just my design. That's why I run Urban Triage. And that's why all of our work is about human center and nurturing people and taking care of people, because that is my human design. However, what happens in the work setting, and I think this happened for actually a lot of Black women and not specifically me, is when people start identifying us as their mother because they feel heard, they feel seen, they feel like they belong, it also triggers this response of resentment. Because when someone can identify you on the spectrum of their mother or someone like that, then you actually end up responding to you like you their mama, right? Like demanding things from you, entitlement, or just having outbursts because you didn't have some trauma around your mama and now that outburst is being outbursted to me, right? It's a crazy, crazy, when you start doing the inner work and identifying different parts of you, then you are then able to identify the people around you, because the thing about it is that we actually get to cause and create our reality. We're causing it. We're causing it not because we're conscious of causing it. A lot of us are sleepwalking. So we're not aware of who we are, why we are the way that we are, why we're responding to the world and stimuli around us the way that we are. And we're not even aware of the socialization that we all go through that tells us who we are, right? So all these different parts of us that have been taught to us and indoctrinated in us, when you start identifying them, you start realizing that that ain't even me. That's my mama talking, you know? That's that 9-year-old baby talking, because that 9-year-old baby never got the love, support, the response from the mom or dad, right? Or when I have situations with my son and I start projecting my fears onto him, and I realize sometimes that that's not even me. The fears ain't even me. The fears is a part of me that's a experience, right? But what happens is that we become attached to these experiences and we start identifying as these experiences, and then we start showing up in the world like that. And that's what my therapy has taught me. Like, it's so powerful. So like I said, I begin this conversation, and by the way, you listen to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. I started this conversation suggesting that everybody needs therapy. And if you want to see my therapist, go look her up. Her name is Heather Lass, and she does amazing work. And I would love to find somatic workers who are Black, because I think that is the next thing for Black people, like identifying those different parts of us, and especially in relationships, because one of the things that happened to us in our intimate relationships, friendships too, and oftentimes intimate relationships, and like I said, with staff and management, like people see me as their mama, they start projecting things onto me and they hate me. Like, people really start hating me. And because especially when I digress, I'll get back to my point in a minute. My brain kind of works like that, which is why some people can't keep up with me and sometimes I can't even keep up with my darn self. So anyway, in the relationships, when people start identifying you as their mother or different, you know, they project these titles onto you or these roles, then they project those experiences onto you. And then whether you're conscious of it or not, you start responding to their projection onto you. So if you project me as being a bully, then I'll start showing up that way, right? I'll start responding to you with that same energy. That's how powerful integrated family therapy is. And that's how I've been able to soften some of me and be more aware of me. And I still got a lot of work to do. But then I think I was going to talk about, darn it, I lost it again because I went left and then I came back. But either way, I was talking about friendships, how we show up in relationships too. So one of the things that's what I was going to say. What I've been discovering and what I've known through Bell Hooks. If y'all don't know Bell Hooks, look her up. Author, leader, philosopher. She wrote, I don't know how many books Bell Hooks wrote, but she wrote a lot. And she wrote specifically around Black people, racism, love, like, you know, the power of love and how it's so hard for us to love as Black people. Through integrated family therapy, what I figured out in my relationship, and especially my intimate relationship with my partner, is that a lot of, a lot of our trauma is projected onto each other, even in the slightest ways. So if, for example, let me just say, I'm not talking about our relationship, but I could be talking about a relationship or a previous experience. But let's just say I take a trip. I take a trip to Atlanta, and my partner has experienced a situation or a previous situation where someone traveled, and every time they traveled, they cheated. So that my partner is likely to bring that energy into the relationship, meaning that I'm in Atlanta and they're thinking that I'm cheating, or they're calling me, they're making statements like, where are you at? Why are you at the bar at 12 o'clock? Who are you eating with? You know, those things we project onto the person that we with, and that has nothing to do with the person in front of you. So part of relationships, and specifically intimate relationships, is I think the whole purpose of them is actually to help you heal. They're actually, the purpose is to bring out your pain bodies, those parts of you that's been wounded in childhood, as an infant or whatever, so that you could deal with it. The challenge for us as humans is that 9 times out of 10, we don't deal with them in our relationships. We actually run from our problems, and then we keep it having the same relationship over and over and over again because there's a lesson. And then we ask ourselves, well, why am I keep experiencing the same girl or the same guy or the same them, or however we want to define or identify our partners? Why am I continuously experiencing this? And I have to say, what I'm learning is because we haven't, I don't want to say grown, because I feel like every relationship I've had, I've grown, and every relationship I've had, they have very much so similarities. So I don't want to say because I haven't grown, but there's something that we still haven't learned or dealt with or expanded around, right? So all of this is coming from me suggesting that you guys do the inner work and identify the parts of you. When I was able to identify last week the parts of me, my little baby girl, it just shocked me that was my experience as a baby. And it came to me in therapy through these activities she does. And then I'm like, why is it shocking me when I was born into the crack era, right? I'm a 1980s baby. So my mother was crack addicted. And at the time before that, I think my family was pretty solid because everybody was homeowners. Everybody worked at a factory, because also back then there was other ways to make money, and everybody in our family had a house. They all had nice cars. It was just like this thing. But when crack hit us, it like destroyed my mother's generation. Like, so her parents, my uncle's huge family, they were all good. They banked that. I remember going to the Black Bank. I think it was C Bank or C something in Chicago. And my grandmother always saying, like, this is the Black Bank, da 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 da, Seashore, C something. I don't think they're around anymore. But nevertheless, then crack hit us. And that was when crack hit, and I say us, I mean Black communities, urban Black communities across the whole country, right? When it hit us, it took our families away. It took our mamas away. So why would I be shocked that I was yearning for love, touch, and being held when I was born in the crack era, right? And the era, and then soon after the crack era hit, there was the war on drugs era, and it was all very purposefully, right? Like, they did it on purpose. And I say they, I mean the CIA, our government, the FBI, the ATF, all of those folks. And the purpose of the war on drugs and the purpose of putting drugs in Black communities was to fund a war, right? Because you got to win the war. And they put the drugs in our community to fund the war. And they realized, oh, this is making a lot of money. And then they said, oh my God, we should open up prisons, right? Because if we can put drugs in the neighborhood, then we can arrest them for them same drugs, and then we could fill up the prisons. So now we got our families on drugs. We got our men selling the drugs, because prior to that, and I did digress a lot, I went from family to this, right? But it's the same thing. It's around the same perimeter or whatever. But if we can put our women on drugs, they remove the mothers from the home, we put our men on drugs, remove the dads, and we put drugs in neighborhoods during the time of like the end of the 70s, when a lot of our men were coming from Black Panther era, civil rights era, and really working on trying to build our community. So people in our community back in the day, they used to hang on a corner, but hang on a corner to protect the community. But then when drugs hit, they hung on the corner to sell the drugs. So it's like this domino effect. But I'm sharing this with you because there's a lot of trauma related to being Black, not just from direct racism, but from systemic racism that leads to the destruction of our communities. And that then shows up in our relationships and our dynamics and our friendships, because this conversation today on Black Conversion Show started around my friendship, and then it went to therapy and then my personal relationships. But I'll be back in a second to talk more about whatever, nothing and everything at the same time on the Black Conversion Show. You're listening to 92.7 FM. Talk to you in a minute.
But you have to. You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Heard the catchphrase that's sweeping the nation?
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
People are saying Jackson Hugh, yeah, to Jackson Hewitt because they love saving money on tax prep. Do you love saving money? Then switch to Jackson Hewitt today and pay less than last year. Thousands of people have already made the switch. Why haven't you? Stop waiting and start filing. You won't get a better deal or a better catchphrase. All together now.
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
That's like to a former Drew. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. So I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Nate always plays the slow jams at the end. I guess it's to slow things down. You're listening to Black Convergence Show on 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandi Grayson. Before break, I was talking about integrative family therapy and what it's done for me. And then that led me to tell my story a little bit about growing up in community, a community that was crack families and communities of crack addicted. And then that led me to talk about the history of it and how crack ended up in our communities. And of course, it's through our government because our government controls everything, right? From the drugs to the prisons to the pipelines to how much money we put in police. And that brings me to another thing that upsets me. You know what? I'm not going to go there. Let's go back and stick to and not digress because we only got a few minutes left. But one thing I was sharing before earlier when we got started that led me down this whole rabbit hole. And today's topic for people who are just tuning in is that we're talking about nothing and everything at all. So if I seem all over the place because we're talking about nothing and everything at all at the same time. So one of the reasons I started talking about this is because I had a week where my heart was broken by people I assumed that I could trust and I thought was friends. And it wasn't so. I mean, some of them know that I know, some of them don't know that I know. And I was just saying that as I've been going through therapy, what I've discovered is I actually attract people. I attract people in my life that's no good to me because I still have this energy of being not worthy of friendships. Like not what it is, I feel unworthy. Like there's this deep hole inside my soul that has been caused by growing up in situations where I was abandoned, where people didn't touch me, hold me, kiss me, love me, tell me I was dope as heck, you know, like I do my son. I tell him he's dope because he's dope and you should feel love. But anyway, I digress. And because I grew up without having that affirmation, there's a part of me that still attract people who validate that unworthiness, right? So I was saying that that's what happened in some of my friendships. And it's happened with people that we've employed. Like I've experienced situations where we've bought cars for people that worked for us. We've saved their parents. We got their loved ones out of jail. We've housed them, put them in housing, paid their rent for a whole 12 months. People that we've employed because we employ the people we serve. And those same people would then turn around and dog us and just talk bad about us. And I say us, I really talk about me because when people think of Urban Triage, because it's such a new organization, they don't think of the organization, they think about me. So when you talk about the org, you're actually talking about me. You know what I mean? So people are like, it's not personal. Yes, it is, girl, because we went over backwards for you and you got some negative things to say. But I say all that to share that all of that is caused by me. Right? It's all caused by me and not caused by me from a place of consciousness, but caused by me because I have these holes in my soul where these energies are just leaking from me. And then you attract people who are, for lack of better words, looking to be filled, right? Because they're not negative people all the time, because they're most of the time people are actually unconscious of what they're doing. People are not aware enough to know, like, dude, you're on some BS right now, or you're making this half of this stuff up, or you're exaggerating, right? It's a mess, because I'm not even going to talk about it, but I had a situation the other day where accusations were made against Urban Triage, and I know none of them was true. Like, some of it happened, but it was so much exaggerated and like, but there's nothing I could say. There's nothing I could do, because when you're in that position, you just have to go with it, right? Because then you look like a fool if you come out and talk about it, and it's illegal because it's employment stuff. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm talking about this to say we cause and create our reality. And sometimes we think we cause it on a small level, like what I'm going to wear today or what. No, actually you cause everything in your life. And it's because of the different parts of you that exist in you that have different frequencies and different like energies that those parts of you attract. And because the whole of my unworthiness is so big, and y'all know I've been doing the work, y'all meaning the people that follow me, know that I've been doing the work, and it still is work to be done. So I say that to all my listeners, is like, get therapy that works on you, helping you identify the parts of you that is causing or allowing things to exist the way they do. My whole organization is built on my unworthiness. And when you think about it, that's pretty dope. And I mean, not dope, but deep, because my whole organization is built on helping people see themselves, right? It's helping people identify that they are magnificent and that they're better than they think they are. It's also built on providing people with triage services, dealing with what's happening right now in your life, so we can help you get stabilized, so you could be the bad, I want to say the curse word, that you are, right? My whole organization is built on it. And it's also built on honesty and integrity, and helping people develop analysis of the systems around us, right? Because what I've learned in my healing journey is when I was able to detach from things that wasn't about me, the voice, the part of me that says I'm inferior is not even mine to have. That belongs to the white systems, the white supremacy. You can have that piece back. But when you can identify it and dissociate or detach from it, then you can grow and expand, right? But there's also parts of me where I haven't been able to dig all the roots up, because the roots are so deep. So I understand, and I celebrate this week in celebration of my birthday, March 7th, and it is March and it's still my birthday. And for the people who didn't get to celebrate with me, I'm going to send out an invite just to meet me somewhere so we can have drinks, because I was traveling for my birthday and it's still my birthday because it's March, right? So I'm celebrating even my birthday this month. I'm also celebrating the me recognizing this in me, this unworthiness in me that keeps attracting people, friends, and situations that's not reflecting my dopeness back to me, right? Not reflecting my own value. So then I attract people who actually validate that I'm not as dope as I am, because they don't feel dope, right? And when you surround yourself with people who don't feel great, then they project their non-greatness on you and then make you responsible for them not feeling great. And then they go out into the world and explain, well, she ain't all that anyway, and she did this and she did that. But in reality, it's you projecting. So I'm celebrating this week that kind of aha moment for myself in the midst of my birthday. Because every year, y'all, I celebrate my birthday and I experience expansion, like this growing. And sometimes it's a joyful expansion, like it's full of happiness and butterflies, and sometimes it's heartbreaking. And as I've identified for the people that's following me in social media, it's been heartbreaking. It's been heartbreaking to discover 6 out of the 8 people that I trust, I can't trust. That's like 80% of people ain't a name. Like, Jesus, that's a lot of people. So, and I don't blame them. I like I said, I do therapy. I know that there's something in me that's attracting people that's no good for me. So I think even though we talked about everything and nothing today, we talked about some good stuff today. And even though I didn't have a co-host, I'm going to have one next week. And we're going to talk about Black men. We're going to talk about Black family dynamics. And really, let's talk about who destroyed Blackness, who destroyed Black communities, who destroyed the dynamics. Some people say Black men. Some people say Black women. Some people say white supremacy. Some people say white people. I don't know. But we're going to get into discovery of it. And I'm not going to have that conversation by myself, because y'all ain't going to say that I hate Black people or Black men or Black women for that matter. We ain't doing that on Brandi Grayson's show. So anyway, I really do appreciate you guys tuning in and having this conversation about nothing and everything at the same time today on 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show. You're listening to Brandi Grayson, and I'll see you next Saturday at 11 a.m.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Monday on Nightlight, On Stage for Cancer performs live, and I'm joined by filmmaker Mar Garvey. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Busted Pencils,
fully leaded education talk.
And I can just now hear somebody going, it sounds like you guys are supporting public schools. They indoctrinate people. You know what? If they indoctrinate people towards democratic ideals, well, then I guess I'm an indoctrinator. You know, if you're not defending democracy, again, I'm concerned about what you really do support.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Listening to Mad Radio,
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.